Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Book Wars Pod. I'm Kate, and I'm here with Chris and Kristen, and today we are doing our second overall mini-episode, the first one that's actually related to Star Wars content specifically, I guess, because last time we did a Q&A, and that was me drunkenly screaming, so that was something. Anyway.
I mean, that was all of us drunkenly screaming, to be fair.
Yeah, but have you listened to that? Because I was just like...
I don't know.
Yeah, you know who has listened to that? Everybody who's fucking yelled at me about my Hamilton opinions.
Good.
Which just got completely blown out of proportion.
No, it didn't.
Super reasonable. That's what happens when you're wrong.
I know, right? Seriously.
Kristen, I'm a cishet white male. I'm never wrong, just by definition.
That's what I heard.
Anyway... Yeah. Perfect segue into the fact that we are revisiting Saw Gerrera's character today. Talking about kind of what new light we see shed on his characterization and stuff. But we'll get into that in a second. First of all, what are we all drinking? Chris?
I actually have nothing. Did you make more tea?
No.
Oh. Man, well, I'm not drinking anything.
Slackers.
I'm drinking tea.
I had tea earlier.
I'm drinking my tea now.
Well, this is just tragic.
I'm drinking collaborative coffee, Columbia, medium roast, whole bean.
Yum.
Ethically sourced, blah, blah, blah.
Great.
It is delicious. It is from Columbia. It is Arabica beans.
Yum.
I love it.
Great. I'm just drinking some Celestial Seasonings Morning Thunder, despite the fact that it is fucking 3:30 in the afternoon here as we're recording, because I got up like an hour and a half ago, and we're not going to talk about it.
Whereas I've been up for like
it's a good box,
hours,
though. Thanks, Celestial Seasonings.
Oh, I love Celestial Seasonings.
It's got a buffalo on it.
Yeah, it does. Oh. It has a buffalo on it. It's really cute. We'll throw it
on the
Instagram.
They always have like the cute animals.
Yeah.
They're so good.
Yeah, no. So this is going to be a great higher energy episode with all of us with our caffeine or whatever. Chris is just like staring at the floor like, Chris.
But it'll be more listenable.
Maybe.
Oh my God.
I'm still going to be boring and low energy.
Yeah.
Because I also low energy. I also just took a beta blocker. So
there you go.
Oh my God.
My heart doesn't explode from this.
That's just great. All right. So anyway, now that we've gotten caffeine and health talk out of the way, let's dive in. So I think I'm the one actually who came up with the idea to do this mini episode revisiting Saw's character. And the way I came up with it is I was listening to podcast who is a friend of the of our podcast, Beltway Banthas, did an interview with Dr. Annalise Ophelian, who is the director of Looking for Leia, which is a documentary coming up exploring, I guess, what's a good way to put it?
I would say
Star Wars fangirls.
Yeah.
So, and the different ways that manifests fan works, and especially focusing on queer women and women of color, and or queer women of color, I guess. And during that conversation, which was pretty wide ranging, and it's fantastic, and we'll put up a link to it because everyone should listen to it, honestly. Dr. Ophelian talked about Saw and how she sees him as, I don't have words today. He's.
I need to drink more of that tea.
I know he's like directly parallels a lot of the, you know, quote unquote extremist protests that we've seen throughout history, specifically linking him to, for example, protesters during the AIDS epidemic, and I can draw more parallels, but I'll do that later. This is a mess. I'm sorry, everybody.
You're good, Kate. Keep going.
It's okay. It's a very special episode.
It's very special.
It's up in the middle of the day.
It's true.
People are lucky we're even doing it.
You're welcome, everyone. Yeah, I was basically listening to this episode and I was just like, got punched in the face about kind of how problematic, honestly, Saw's portrayal is in a lot of the Star Wars media, especially in the cartoons, but we also see it in the books. We've talked about him endlessly on the show, but I don't think we've ever actually talked about him from this angle because none of us are Black people, and therefore we have the privilege to not have to worry about his portrayal. So we are kind of doing this episode to rectify that a little bit and have, I guess, a more nuanced discussion about him and portrayals of people of color, specifically in Star Wars.
Yeah, and I think that kind of just jumping off right there about kind of the problematic portrayal of, or that we see of Saw in Rebels and in Clone Wars is we only see the one side of him, right? Like we see, you know, the angry young man on Onderon who, you know, his better angel of his sister Steela died and that kind of set him along a dark path. And then we see the end of his life in Rogue One when he's, you know, basically crazy and torturing people. And even in Rebels, when we see him on Geonosis in season 3, and then in season 4, when he meets with Ezra and Sabine, and they blow up the Kyber crystal. Minor spoiler for season 4, if you haven't caught up.
Thanks,
we'll throw it in the episode description.
Yeah.
Yeah. As usual, this is not a spoiler-free podcast.
This is true.
Everybody.
This is true. But like you kind of only ever see Saw's actions and he's never given space to go into his motivations and we're never given his view. And like, I feel like that is very problematic because it's, you know, and you alluded to it at the top, but it's the angry Black man trope of, you know, this individual is, you know, he may be fighting for the right things, but he's not fighting the right way. You know, we wish he would just be nonviolent about it. Like, you know,
absolutely. Absolutely. And it's really it's a catch 22 for someone like Saw, just because, you know, I have on here on the outline drawing parallels between Saw and the civil rights movement, because of course you've got, you know, in this country we have Martin Luther King, and who has been co-opted by white supremacy. Like, here's a good Black man. He didn't do anything. He did all these nonviolent protests. He wasn't like Malcolm X, you know, advocating for, you know, what, like, whatever white people think he was advocating for, a race war or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I mean, it's, we're recording this on December 2nd, which is the day after the anniversary of Rosa Parks getting arrested and sparking the Montgomery boycott. And we're still seeing tweets about how Rosa Parks unintentionally sparked the Montgomery boycott. I learned when I was a kid that Rosa Parks was just a sweet little old lady who was too tired to get up. That's not true at all. Rosa Parks was a badass and had spent years fighting for equal rights and civil rights in the South. And people don't care about that because it's the nice sanitized version of the sweet little old lady is the one that we as white people who control the history books want to see.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think, twist, this isn't on the outline, but I'm going to bring it up. I think, especially...
Do you even have the outline open?
I have the fucking outline open. Do you not see my cursor? It's on there.
I don't, actually.
I'm on it, okay? It says, mini app revisiting Saw Gerrera. I can read it to you. Oh, my God. This is so parent-child right now. Do you even have the outline open? Yeah, I do. anyway... But I think there's a lot more conversation now happening around the difference between Dr. King being nonviolent and peaceful, right? So there's a big difference between peaceful protest and nonviolent protest. And Dr. King was a nonviolent protester, which means that he did a fair share of disrupting. Disrupting is not violence, right? And I think that when a lot of people are calling for nonviolent protests, they're really conflating it with peaceful protest. And they are saying, basically, I mean, they talked about this much more eloquently on Beltway Banthas than I am now. But, you know, a lot of folks think if it's disrupting my life, it's not nonviolent protest, right? And that's just not true, right?
Yeah, that's a great delineation. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, definitely. And kind of bringing it back to Saw, I feel like where that line gets even more blurred is that, like, Saw, I think Saw's protests and methods are decidedly violent. Like, I think that's fair to say. Like, he's someone who's not afraid to use violence to get his aims, but we're just never given the view of why he's doing it. Like, you know, it was really kind of drilled home to me watching the episode in season 4 where you have Saw arguing with Mon Mothma.
In the name of the rebellion.
Thank you. In the name of the rebellion. And, you know, on the one hand, we've got Saw, who, you know, the Empire's destroyed his life. You know, whether it was the Separatists or the before or the Empire now. He has good reasons for fighting the way he fights. And as we've learned more in Rebel Rising when we read that book by Beth Rivas. On the other hand, we have Agent Callus, who... Everyone loves Hot Callus. Don't get me wrong. But...
Hashtag Hot
like,
Callus.
He was... Like... He was an Imperial agent without a conscience for the first 2 seasons of this show.
I mean, he's complicit in genocide.
He absolutely is. In multiple genocides.
Mm-hmm.
And... He developed a conscience in season 3 and became Fulcrum at great risk to himself, and no one's denying that. But we... He just gets to walk onto Yavin and be treated like a hero, and he never gets to deal with the fact that he has murdered countless people, probably countless thousands of people.
Absolutely. And that's
and beings.
And yes. Beings. Thank you. Apologies. As always, we strive for
species inclusive
vocabulary.
Yes.
Thank you. I couldn't even figure out the word vocabulary.
We laugh, but it's like so real though. Like,
it is,
that's
though.
Such a fucking real thing, because that's the kind of adjustment everybody's brain needs to do. But, you know, whether
absolutely.
casual racism or casual patriarchy bad, like, this is exactly, that's the rewiring that we have to do. So we laugh about
absolutely.
It, but at the same time, like, that's why if you guys are laughing at us for being so deliberate about that
PC,
that's really why
fuck.
That's really why we're doing it, right?
Yeah,
because it's the same it's the same thing as trying to not assume people's gender pronouns and trying to refer to people as them or as some other form of gender neutral pronoun, unless they specifically introduce themselves as he or she and not necessarily going by, oh, they look like X.
Right.
Like, Kristen, I'm going to reuse the word that you used because it's exactly what it is. It's rewiring mm-hmm. the way that we have been trained to think about race and gender in America. We being, you know, speaking for me and Kristen, being raised as, you know, middle to upper middle class white people. But I mean, also, just everyone in America, whether they're white or not, was raised under the specter of patriarchy and white supremacy. And so we all, like, have this in us.
Absolutely. Oh, just to get back to your point, Chris, about how we never really see Saw's motivations, whereas, you know, we get a lot more of them from, honestly, we get a lot more of it from Callus. He has that whole, he gets a whole episode to himself when he and Zeb are stuck on that moon of Geonosis. I think it was season 2.
Yeah.
I think the episode is called The Honorable Ones.
You're so good, Kate.
I love Rebels so much, guys.
That was a great episode.
It was. And it was, you know, and I'm glad they gave him that space to be introspective and remorseful about all the stuff that he's done. Not that it makes the shit that he did better, but I'm glad they gave him that space. Saw never gets that space, whether on screen or in the books. There's no Saw book. We don't know if there are plans for one at this point, but there's no book about Saw. His character is either, interwoven in a lot of the books we've read, which is why we keep talking about him, either as a present character or... one whose specter kind of looms over the action, even if he's not actually there. But because we don't have a book with Saw or his point of view, and he never gets his own episode where he gets to, like, think about how, you know, his Sela's death or the Imperial takeover of Onderon has affected him, we see him as Star Wars decides to portray him, which is they have decided to label him an extremist and a terrorist, and... You know, I think they're trying to go for a morally ambiguous gray area with him, but they're not succeeding at all because...
Yeah, it doesn't feel morally ambiguous in the way that they've decided to kind of lay him out. Even in the books where there's a little more room Right. I still think it's not very morally ambiguous at all.
Right, exactly. Like, I mean, what you saw in Rebel Rising, he's Jin's father figure and she loves him. And we see that on the page and we can feel that. But she's still portrayed as a giant asshole, so.
Absolutely. And I think kind of a great example of what could be that is not happening in the storytelling right now is in the episode. Is it part two of In the Name of the Rebellion where they blow up the Kyber crystal?
Correct.
So in the Name of the Rebellion, in season four, Saw takes himself and one of the Two Tubes brothers and Sabine and Ezra to an Imperial freighter, I guess, where they blow up a giant Kyber crystal. And what we see is, and this is all told, you know, as much of Rebels is, essentially from Ezra's perspective. Ezra's the main character and everybody else is surrounding him. And what we see is Saw abandoning Sabine and Ezra and the prisoners on the freighter to make sure that the Kyber crystal blows up. What we don't see is Saw thinking in his head, I don't know what's going on, but this Kyber crystal, I know the Empire. I'm confident that this could kill millions of people. And priority number one for me is not getting 10 people off of this freighter. It is making sure that the millions of people who are going to die from this Kyber crystal's existence don't die. And we don't get that argument and we don't get that view of the morality. And like, I know people don't like to talk about the ends justify the means or the numbers game of making moral decisions, but that is a moral decision. And that's something that's war. And that's something that Saw has to struggle with and openly struggles with in a way that nobody else in the rebellion really does. And so far, I don't think that the storytelling has done him justice.
Absolutely. I mean, he gets that, it's one or two throwaway lines in that episode where he's just like, you don't really understand exactly what it's like for the Empire to take away your family and your home and your friends and all that.
Yeah, that's true, but I mean,
he gets that, but it's not enough.
It's not enough, and it's also, that's presented to the viewer from Ezra's perspective during an argument, and so it kind of just seems like he's making excuses, you know?
Right, because Ezra's just like, I lost my family too, and I'm like, alright, whatever, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to... It's probably not on... Nope, of course it's not on here. I don't ever follow the outline or add anything to it. But I want to add why this is particularly frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And also just like include a point of nuance where we get to be mad about Lucasfilm's decision or the story group's decision to fridge Steela.
No, that was Lucasfilm. That was before the story group existed.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yes. But anyway, so, you know, in past episodes, we've talked a lot about the fridging and how they're using kind of Steela's death to, quote unquote, justify a lot of the stuff that Saw is doing and sort of set his character arc in motion in a way that it would not be set before. So, one, you know, we can be upset about the portrayal of Saw and still be mad about the stealing, the fridging of Steela.
Absolutely.
I think that's important to call out. And also, I think it's important to call out that they fucking fridge Steela and they still can't come up with like a more nuanced way to describe Saw. That's really frustrating.
Right? No. They have not been kind to the Guerrera siblings and it's so annoying.
They have not.
Yeah.
And
not that that, and it also that would not justify fridging Steela.
Uh-uh.
I just am saying that if you're going to do it, at least fucking make something interesting and nuanced and make us think about morality instead of just portraying him as this angry black man.
Can't even fridge right.
Right.
Yeah. And I think it's just to kind of, I know we were trying to keep this episode a little shorter just to like, maybe not wrap up, but move on to a different like topic, subtopic within this. I think it's important to recognize that there's really two arguments that we would like to see Star Wars having where Star Wars is not having them. There's one, obviously, the more detailed depiction of Saw. And there's, you know, whether that's giving Saw his own, you know, novel or series of novels. I think a series of Saw growing up would be amazing, written by a black author who is closer to these issues and could really give that depth to the character would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. But also, there is a real question about whether or not Saw is right and whether or not, you know, in that argument between Saw and Mon Mothma about is Saw a terrorist, basically, because we've referred to Saw as a terrorist on this podcast. And I don't necessarily think that that's an incorrect characterization of some of the things that he does. Like, but they're not giving, Disney is not giving us the tools and the background with which to have that argument from a level ground and actually see where Saw's coming from and see where Mon Mothma's coming from and weigh those two equally. They're only giving us Mon Mothma's side of the argument. And again, not to, just to use Mon Mothma as like the catch-all for the Alliance.
Right. And Chris, we've talked about this off pod a little bit. Cue Kristen screaming at us.
No off pod talking, Mom and Dad.
We don't talk off pod at all. We just sit here in silence anytime we're not recording.
I know that. And so that's what I like to think.
And yeah, it's we pet the hamster and we don't talk.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Hamlet's the only one in that house that's allowed to talk, not on the pod.
So just kind of related to what you just said, Chris, and some things that we've talked about as well. Again, having this discussion, kind of its jumping off point was that Beltway Betha's interview with Dr. Ophelion. One of the things she said was that in any movement, in any protest movement, justice movement, whatever, there are going to be different groups of people who are using different tactics to get to the same end. So she's queer, so she's very close to the protests that were going on during the AIDS epidemic. And one of the things she said was that she was more closely aligned to the, I guess, you know, quote-unquote radical of those groups. And what she was saying was that an interesting effect of having that kind of, you know, extreme or whatever you want to call it, wing of any movement is that it makes the moderates look reasonable, and then they can ask for things, and people are like, oh, and you're so nice, and you don't tie yourself to, you know, chain yourself to the doors of my building or whatever the fuck. So we're gonna listen to you. And so what she was saying was that it's necessary for everyone to voice their opinions. Because the practical result being that, you know, at some point you'll get something out of it by, you know, having this range of protest action or whatever.
Yes. we also should point out that the right wing in the United States has done this really, 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 really effectively.
You're right. You're right.
So.
Yeah, that's
it. Worked.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. You're absolutely right about that. You're absolutely right about that.
So it really does work both ways. And I don't think that it's necessarily quote unquote lowering, you know, if you want to call us liberals, which I think we all would identify as.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's lowering ourselves to any sort of level. I think it's just those of us who are passionate and want to protest in the way that we want to protest. Mm-hmm. We need to do that.
Right.
And we need to not temper ourselves in the name of whatever.
Right, which is not a view we get on Star Wars. But Chris, one of the things that you said to me at one point, and you may or may not remember this, is that at a certain point in season 4, the Ghost Crew kind of starts to question Mon Mothma's tactics. You know, are they doing enough against the Empire? Mm-hmm. Are they hurting them enough? And they kind of begin to meld Mon Mothma's worldview with Saw's, and they start, you know, finding that middle ground between all of that. And it's never, you know, it's never said explicitly that they get that from Saw, you know, that's all his, you know, his.
Oh, absolutely. Whatever. I think Saw gets no credit for where the Alliance ends up in its most successful moments. I mean, look at Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Rogue One, Saw is portrayed as someone who dies, first of all.
Who dies.
And his ideology dies.
Yes.
And Saw Gerrera is an extremist. And that's all we get of Saw. But I mean, Mon Mothma and Bail Organa supporting the assault on Scarif. Like, the assault on Scarif at all, I mean, Jin kind of christens it with Saw's words. Or Steela's words, as we found out in Rebel Rising.
Mm-hmm.
But one fighter with a sharp stick and nothing left to lose can carry the day. That's all Saw Gerrera. a big risky assault on an imperial installation that is an entire world that's shielded, there's no way that early rebellion Mon Mothma would have ever approved that. Not that she approved this, but she at least tacitly saw that it was necessary and saw, as she said to Bail, that war would be necessary at some point. And Saw gets no credit for the influence that his tactics, whether right or wrong, which is, again, a discussion that we're never allowed to have, like, and never allowed to have by, we're never given the tools to have within the Star Wars universe. Regardless of whether or not his actions were right or wrong, they very clearly had an effect that is not talked about.
Yes.
And the effect, I think it goes without saying, is, well, it goes without saying from the perspective of the Rebellion and the New Republic was positive because they those tactics helped the Empire win. Or helped the Rebellion win. Yikes.
Yikes.
Need more tea. See, this is why I needed more tea.
Oh my god.
Oi.
Yes.
Man, it was such a good point too. And then just sandbag myself.
It was really sand. Good.
Sand.
Oh my god. It's everywhere, man. Chris, I totally agree with what you said, but I want to at least give credit to the breadcrumbs of Saw's ideals that are being dropped, especially in like the Battlefront 2 novel, like that he was obviously talked about and his tactics were talked about a lot. So I think he's at least referenced more like they're kind of upping his influence, I suppose, in some small way. Not only was he obviously mentioned and included in Rogue One, but also like throughout the Battlefront 2 book, we're kind of faced with Saw's tactics. Oh, that's really hard to say, quote unquote. The rebel group in Battlefront 2 openly refers to them as such. So just wanted to point that
absolutely
out.
And I hope we see more.
Absolutely. And so just kind of on an ending note, I think it's, you know, we talk a lot about Star Wars and storytelling and all this stuff, but it's, and some people would like that whole universe to be an escape for them and just to be totally separate from real life. But we really can't do that. I think we were talking one of our episodes, for example, about how, the original trilogy was kind of a response to the idealism of the space race, you know, and you can kind of see that, you know, there's an evil empire, they're the good guys, etc. And I think that a character like Saw is definitely a character for our times, and he reflects the moral, like the moral complexity of it and the frustration that we feel. Like, I mean, who doesn't want to go out and punch Richard Spencer in the face on the street, you know? So one of the parallels that I just want to leave y'all with before we close is you all might have heard about, obviously there were a lot of protests on Inauguration Day when Trump was inaugurated, but one of those protest groups is called Disrupt J20, and what they did was they chained themselves to the barricades at the checkpoints to get onto the mall to actually, you know, witness the inauguration to prevent people from going through. And there were different groups at the various checkpoints, you know, focusing on the Dakota Access Pipeline, Black Lives Matter. There was a feminist group, and pretty much all of them got arrested, and many of them are facing up to 30 years in jail for protesting, for exercising their right to protest. And again, it was not a peaceful protest, but it certainly was a nonviolent protest, to go back, Keeks, to your point. And, you know, these are people who can't really afford legal fees, but they did this because, you know, they don't have a voice unless they, you know, I don't want to say resort to these tactics, but unless they use these tactics. So it's a good time to be reflecting on Saw, I think, and to understand what is problematic in how Star Wars has been treating him and what exactly he offers, not only the story, but, you know, the lessons he can offer us as we are facing the ever-present shadow of white supremacy. So,
well said. I feel like that's the way to wrap it up.
Black identity extremism is bullshit.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry, just we didn't pull out the specific phrase. I haven't said anything about Star Wars this whole episode, so you guys are welcome.
I mean, it's a mini episode. Yeah, that's the point.
That was literally the point.
We had a thing we wanted to talk about, and so we did.
Hell yeah.
Because we do whatever we fucking want on this podcast.
Sure yep. do.
All right, cool. Well, we're going to leave it there. Thank you for listening to this very special mini episode of the Book Wars podcast. Hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, Facebook, email, all those. At BookWarsPod, BookWarsPod@gmail.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. It is the best way to help people discover the pod and join the conversation. Our theme song is Whiz Bang by Poddington Bear. Our logo and artwork are by Joe Butera Design. I'm Chris. For Kate and Kristen, we'll talk to you soon.
Black Lives Matter.
Woo! Blah, 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 blah. Edit that out. I just
I won't. I love it.